joy, they're now flooding my soul. I know my sin debt is paid. I'm forgiven of my sin, and I've been born again. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have found. It's settled, I know that my name's written down. I'm saved, I'm free, I'm no longer a slave. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. The burden of sin that I've carried so long, it's gone, cause I rose from the grave. And you can't make me doubt what I'm gonna shout. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have.
You take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus, the book of Psalms, and the book of Revelation. Let me read to you three scriptures this morning that will help you understand the message that your pastor would preach to you. I would like to say a great big thanks to the men who preached last Sunday night. Did they not do a wonderful job? I know you were blessed, and I pray to know that you've carried all week the burden of your unsaved family members. I am so hungry to see a harvest. I am so hungry to see a harvest. I did a Bible study on Friday on Facebook. The last count I saw, 500 and some people going towards 600 had listened and clicked on that Bible study. And I did it on the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. I did it specifically on the scripture that says, the name of the wicked shall rot. The name of the wicked shall rot. Well, I'm grateful for those who heard that message, those who clicked on that particular Bible study. And I want somehow to wake men and women to the idea of the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Many people know it. It was preached much in the past. I don't remember many years in hearing a sermon about the Lamb's Book of Life. But it really has got a hold of me and gripped me to teach it and preach it and talk about it. And hopefully help people experience it. So this morning, go with me to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. Let me read to you two verses of scripture. 32 and 33. Exodus 32 and verses 32 and 33. Listen carefully to what the Bible says to us. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. Now notice, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Now he's saying this to the Lord, to the Christ, and he said, blot me now out of thy book, which thou hast written. I'd never seen that before. Until yesterday, as I was reading the scripture on the broadcast, I saw where it said, by Moses speaking, which thou hast written. Oh boy, that settles the argument, don't it? That settles the debate. I know I've heard through the years that an angel was the writer of the book of life. And so I just had kind of thought that way. But this week, I've read and studied and read and studied, and it's thrilling to know that it's the book which thou hast written. Jehovah the Lord, the great Christ, has written the book. Beautiful. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. He that hath sinned against me. God is saying that to Moses. Moses is telling God to take him out of the book if he won't forgive Israel. And God's rebuking Moses and saying, no, I will take him who has sinned out of my book. Then in the book of Psalms, division 69, let me read to you one verse. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. This is the psalmist David. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. Oh, there's Exodus, the writings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. There's the writings of the psalmist David. Very clear. To understand that there is a matchless book. There is a matchless book. And then in the book of Revelation 20, division 20, or chapter 20, and verse 15. Book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, and whosoever, notice the clarity of this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. I mean, that's an overwhelming statement, saints. Overwhelming. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Everybody in human existence, every soul of the past, the present, or the future, every individual person created by God will either be in the book of life or cast into the lake of fire. I mean, that's just clear. That overwhelms you. That even breaks your heart to think of the multitude. The multitude, they want religion. They want religion, but they don't want to go far enough that they become identified with this Bible, identified with this Christ, identified with heaven. They don't want to go that far. Give me a little religion. Give me a little fire insurance. But what I'm preaching to you about this morning is eternal insurance and not fire insurance. It's not eternal for you to play with either. It's not eternal for you to treat like license. Not eternal for you to do with as you please, but a life that is utterly, utterly His. Sold out to Him. You got to understand that for your name to be written in the book of life is to have the nature of heaven in your life. It is to be identified with heaven. Jesus said to his disciples when they returned in shouting and praising God for the miracles, he said, rejoice not because the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notice that, in heaven. So he's comparing a name written in heaven to being the same as the name written in the book of life. I like that. Oh, I like how it all blends together and such perfection and beauty. Father, your servant would preach the truth this morning from the best of his heart. I long to see sinners saved, Father. I weep over every man or woman who is on their way and destined for hell. I weep over the multitude in the graves, already in the place called hell, already suffering the misery of an eternal judgment. I weep over them, Lord. I don't rejoice that nobody has had to go to hell, but I cry out, Father, in all the beauty of thy grace, to help us win those yet on this side of eternity who are unsaved, who have not surrendered to Christ. Make us a winner of their soul, in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. When you think about the Lamb's Book of Life, I like that title. That's only in the Bible twice where he calls it the Lamb's Book of Life, but they all mean the same. The Book of Life is the Lamb's Book of Life. And I like that title, the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. A book in which the names of every person who has become part of the family of God written in a book which is in heaven, according to the words of Jesus Christ, written by him who is the only redeemer and the only sin bearer and the only regenerator, the only one who can change a life and change a heart. Is the one who writes these names in this book. And he misses nobody. He misses no one who has come to him and surrendered to him. And with joy, he writes their name. And could I tell you that when the Lord writes their names, there is a celebration in heaven. The Bible said the angels rejoice more over one sinner that repenteth than 10,000 saints of God. They have joy in heaven. They rejoice in heaven. They shout in heaven. And the angels celebrate when a sinner comes to Christ. Now, first I want to talk about something. Did you know, now listen to me carefully, heaven is a treasure trove of information. Heaven is a treasure trove of books, of records, of information. In fact, the earth is really just a backyard place to heaven. I remember living in Burlington, and my wife lived in Glenraven. That's where she was raised, a beautiful place. And beyond Glenraven, some 2 or 3 miles, was a place called Tent City. Tent City. I remember going there a time or two. I didn't care about it. It was a place of poverty. It was a place where people were living on the edge of life, on the edge of death, on the edge of disease and everything you could imagine. I remember Tent City. And I was thinking this morning, when you really compare heaven and the earth, earth is nothing but heaven's tent city. That's really all it is. The earth is heaven's tent city. The earth is heaven's backyard. The earth is heaven's suburb. And everything that controls life, everything that is the truth of God, everything that is an eternal record is not here, it's up there. All the records of God are in heaven. And the Bible talks about these books that are in heaven. I've always preached that there were 5 of them. I said that Wednesday night. I preached a sermon when the books are open. I've preached that in several places. It's a sermon I'd love to preach. But this week in my study, there are not just 5 books in heaven. There are six books. There are six books. Let me name them for you. You ought to remember these. You ought to make an effort to memorize these six books. Number one is the Bible. Number one is the Bible. The Bible is forever settled in heaven. It is not an earthly book. It has an earthly rendering, but it's not an earthly book. It's a heavenly book. It is a book that has the whole record of God's divine desire and will for the human family. It is a record of His principles by which we are to live. It is a record of His dictates and directions to us for the most blessed life that's available to humankind. There's no life that can be known by the greatest wisdom of the greatest philosopher or the greatest lawyer or the greatest politician or the greatest preacher that compare with the record and the life which He has written for us in the Holy Bible. It's a roadmap. It's a roadmap. Hallelujah. The Bible forever settled in heaven. Go to Revelation 11 and Revelation 15 and you'll find the temple in heaven is open. And in both cases, there's the Bible in the temple. In the temple, the testament, the covenant, in the temple. It's there. Hallelujah. And we have the record of it. We have the exact rendering of it. I really believe, as the Lord prayed, as the psalmist David spoke, that the Bible has been kept for us, and we have the perfect Word of God, every word of it, every page of it, every chapter of it, every book of it. I believe it is God's rendering. So, we have a record of God's principles by which we are to live. Isn't that beautiful? Think about it, church. We ought to treasure this book with everything that's in us. We ought to love every page of it. No wonder the psalmist David said in the first division of the Psalms that if we delight in this law day and night, He will make us like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth His fruit in His season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. That's Psalms 1 and 3. That's His promise if you love this book. What a book. What a book. What a book. Well then, turn with me to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. This is too good not to look at a few of these verses of Scripture. There's a book in heaven. Now, this lets you know how important the heavenly records are. This lets you know how important the books in heaven are. And I'm going to try not to preach too long. But there's a lot here that's so breathtaking. Psalms 139, verse 15. My substance, this is the psalmist speaking. And he's talking about God. And he says, my substance, that's the physical body. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eye did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Woo! Hallelujah! God's wonderful treasure trove of wisdom contains a book in which every human life is written. And He has them written in His book, has their parts written in His book, the arms, the legs, everything about them in His book. And He has a record of you before you were born. He has a record of you before you was born. There is no such thing as an accident human. There's no such thing as an accident human. They may have been conceived in sin. They may have been conceived outside the grandness of marriage. They may have been born to pagans and wicked people. It doesn't matter what all those circumstances. He knows every one of them. Would you raise your hand and say, He knew me before I was born? You think you're special what you are. Hallelujah. He knew you before you was born. In his book, all your parts were written when you were yet unformed in mama's womb. I love it. I love it. I love it. The great records of heaven. I must move on quickly. Then I love Malachi. Both Malachi, the little fella that is part of our family, and the book of Malachi. Oh, do I love the book of Malachi. And he writes in it. Well, let me just go to it. One of the most wonderful passages that I can shout anytime when I read the book of Malachi and begin to look at this picture. Malachi chapter, sorry about that. I got to go here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him. A book of remembrance was written before God for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Who do you fear? And who do you think about? Who do you think about? You know, there's a lot of people I love. I love my sweetheart. That's a wonderful thing for a man to do, is to love his wife, to be faithful to his wife, to care about her, to care about her. And I'll tell you, any man, you love your wife like you ought to love her, and she is most likely, barring some extraordinary circumstance, she's going to love you back. It's going to be a beautiful relationship. It really has. It starts with the man. He is the responsible one. But here he says very plainly, that they thought about him. Their mind was centered upon him, and they talked about him. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. A book of remembrance was written. A book of remembrance. Now, I guess you could debate about that book all day. Maybe that's the book of life. I'm not telling you it isn't. It may be. I do know this. It's a roll call of the rapture-ready saints. A roll call of the rapture-ready saints. Those who think about him. Those who talk about him, those who look for him to come. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I move on quickly. And then there's a book of all the deeds and actions of every humankind. You can't do nothing that God isn't keeping a record. You can't be evil without it being written in your book. You can't be good without it being written in your book. He's keeping a record of you, friend. You got to understand, this is just heaven's backyard. This is heaven's suburb. And he's keeping a record up there of all of the people on his planet, on his earth. He made it for his glory. He created it for his pleasure. He put us there for his pleasure. He put us there to be his family. He put us there to serve him, to love him, to live for him. And he keeps a record of us. He knows all about us. He knows what you did this week. He knows if you were so caught up in things that you love and things that have no spiritual value, you were so caught up in just being a pleasure person, a pleasure individual, so caught up in just gathering something for your own future. I mean, God knows all about us. He knows what we're doing. He knows our life. He knows our time. The Bible says he even knows our thoughts afar off. Think about that. God knows my thoughts afar off. So it's the book of the record deeds. We see that in the book of Revelation, the great story of the white throne judgment, when the books are open. when the books are open. Oh, do you realize the only person who can change that book of you and all of your deeds is Jesus Christ and his shed blood? Did you know that you will face God for every evil, dark thing you've ever done in all your life and answer to God for it and for those things unless the blood is allowed to wash away your sins? I wouldn't face God with my background for nothing on the face of this earth. But it's been washed. It's been sanitized. Woo! It's been Cloroxed. Oh, listen to me. It's been Cloroxed. It's been cleaned. It's been completely free of all my background and all my darkness and all of my evil deeds. I've got a record this morning that's as pure as the morning sunshine. Hallelujah. Because the blood hath made me pure. Slip your hand up and say, the blood has made my record pure. The blood has made my record pure. But then there's another book. The book of Revelation. 5-7 sealed book. Nobody has ever touched it yet but the Father. Jesus has the book of life. The Father has the title deed to this earth. I said the Son has the book of life. The Father has the title deed to the earth. And even Jesus hasn't touched the title deed. And I doubt the Father has touched the book of life. That doesn't really matter which way you think. But I want to tell you this morning, there is this seven sealed book in the Father's possession. And it's the title deed of this earth. If Putin over in Russia thinks he can run the affair, he's just idly thinking. If the leaders of China think they can take over and set up a kingdom, they're just thinking idly. If the Muslims of Iran and the other Muslim countries think they can set up their, how do you say that word? Starts with a C. A one world kingdom for the Muslims. Capitalists or something like that. If they think they can set that up, they're just dreaming, friend. I'm telling you, if the Catholics think they can set up a one world order, no, no, no. If the United Nations think they can set up a one world order, no, no, no. But there's going to be a new world order, and it's written in that seven sealed book in the Father's possession. Hallelujah. The seven sealed book of the Father's possession. The title deed of this earth. Raise your hand and worship. Would you please with me? Audrey, Anto, Sabaria. Hallelujah. That's five books. But there's one more. The Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. I've been thinking of this book, and all week I've been shouting. I've been having a triumph in my heart and pleasure in my mind to know that in the possession of the blessed Son of God who died on Calvary's tree, that blessed Savior, that soon coming King, that one who will soon be the King of this earth and set up a 1,000-year millennial, that divine Son has in his possession the Book of Life. And my name is written in the book. Woo! Is your name written in the book? Is your name written in the book? Is your name written in the great book of life? Have your sins been washed away? Have you been made a part of the heavenly citizenship? Hallelujah. I may be an American, but that's only second. Number one, I'm a citizen of heaven. What a day when I inherit all the rights of my citizenship. I could spend a long time, Brother Marlon, talking about the rights of the citizenship of those to whom heaven belongs. Heaven is ours. Did you know that? That new Jerusalem is ours. Did you know that? That new heaven and that new earth is ours. We're going to judge the angels. We're going to judge all of our enemies. Even the wicked are going to bow their knees before us. Hallelujah. And we are the citizens of heaven. And you were given that right when he wrote your name in that grand book called the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Now, here's how I've always thought. You can play with this and disagree with part of this. But I think of my Father as being the omnipotent Father, the omnipotent God. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And he gave it to his Son, by the way. And then I think of Jesus as the omniscient one. Omnipotent means all powerful, but omniscient means all knowing. Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything. Read the Bible, it'll talk about the wisdom in which he gives to his children. It'll talk about him as that source of all wisdom. Oh yes, Jesus is the eternal omniscient one. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about this universe. The Father hath given him power to reign and to rule and to judge. And oh, what a day that's going to be. But then there's the Holy Ghost, and he's the omnipresent member of the triune God. The Father knows everything. The Father is over everything. The Son knows everything. The Holy Ghost is everywhere. Nobody can escape him. Hallelujah. If I make my bed in hell, David said, behold, thou art there. Hallelujah. If I take the wings of the morning, he said, you'll be right where I arrive. Hallelujah. It's all in his omnipresent hands. Oh, what a picture this is. What a picture. So this morning, let's understand as we talk about this book that it was written by him who knows everything. The source of all wisdom. The source of all knowledge. The source of all understanding. The Lord Jesus, the blessed Son of God. Hallelujah. It was written by him. It was written by him. Jesus is the omniscient one. And in that book is our citizenship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rights of a citizen is to call upon the Father and to call upon the Son, to depend upon the Holy Ghost, to believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. And when he wrote your name down in the book of life, you suddenly became an inheritor of all the things of God, of all the kingdom of God, of all the hopes of God, of all the promises of God, of all the future of God. It's been given to you. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of eternity. You are a citizen of a world that shall exist forever and ever and ever. And you're a citizen. You have all the rights of citizenship. You have all the rights of ownership. You have all the rights of possession. You have all the rights that the Father has given to his children. You see, heaven is the nature of a person whose name has been written in the book of life. Let me get you to think now. Think about all the religious people you know. And you watch them. And you see them. And you know how they live. You hear their language. You hear their jokes. You see their character, and they're religious. But you know, if you have any discernment at all, they're not really a Christian. And sometimes they can fool you, or at least they can try, and they can fool some people, because so many people are not discerning when it comes to spiritual matters. I see people all the time, if a preacher can shout louder, they think that means he's spiritual. I don't mean a thing about him being spiritual. How loud he shouts. How loud I'll scream don't make me spiritual. How high I jump don't make me spiritual. I'll tell you what makes you and I spiritual is when the Lord Jesus has become the nature of our life. When he's the nature of our life. When heaven is our nature. When the things of God is our nature. I go back to when I was first saved. And I remember immediately I fell in love with the church. I remember this morning. I remember sitting in the house of God on a Sunday morning. I'd been saved in that revival that was just concluding. This was Sunday, and I'd got saved on Tuesday night. And I'm sitting there, and the pastor gives an invitation for people to join the church. This was new to me. I'd never heard about joining the church. I'd never heard about becoming a member of the church. I'd gotten saved, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening, and I'm watching, and people get up. They've been saved in that same revival that I was saved in, and they're walking down, and they're joining the church. But I've said nothing to Mama. I've said nothing to Daddy, and Dad had always been very strong in my life, and I just couldn't believe that I should get up and join the church that morning, because I just didn't understand. And I'll never forget it. I went to Brother Lambert, the pastor, that evening. And I said, Brother Lambert, my heart exploded this morning when you gave chance for membership in the church. Would you give a chance for me to join the church tonight. I can't leave today unless I become a member of the church. Oh, I remember it. And I got up that night, and I don't remember details. All I remember is I became a part of the church. Did you know that was 64 years and 7, 8, 9 months ago? And I love the church as much today as I loved it then. What did that in you? You was nothing but a country boy. You'd never been to church, but occasionally you didn't care no more for the house of God than you did for the barn where you kept the horse. What happened to you, Joe Chambers? Something happened inside of me. My name was written in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And very immediately there came a nature that took a hold of me that made the things of God more important than anything else in this world. And I had to be a part of that church. I had to be a part of that family. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you? When you get good and saved, you won't be looking for a church where you can be comfortable. You won't be looking for a church that says the kind of things you want. You won't be looking for a church where there's liberty to live like you please. If you're a lady, you won't be looking for a church where you can dress like a man or dress like the world and do those things of the world to make your body beautiful. You'll want a church where you can join the family of God. You'll want a church where the Bible is the living word of God. You'll want a church that teaches you how to live. Woo! Hallelujah. But it can only happen when he writes your name. I'm here to tell you, now you got to hear me. When he writes your name in heaven, it's because something is happening in your heart. And him writing your name only helps seal it and make it even more real. And you're ready to serve God. The earnest of the Spirit. Listen to me, church. Writing your name is more than just a book and a pen and words. It's a Holy Ghost experience. It's a Holy Ghost event. It's a divine encounter with the heavenly. Hallelujah. It's actually God removing your citizenship from America first and foremost in your life to moving your citizenship to heaven. And the psalmist David said in Psalms 23, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And brother David, I want to express the sentiments that I have toward those words. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo, hallelujah. So, writing your name in the book of life seals your surrender to a heavenly lifestyle and a heavenly walk. And you don't want anything else. We try to teach unsaved people how to live holiness, and all they do is get bugged at us. You get them good saved. You get their name in the book of life. You get them in love with Jesus. You get them with a new nature. And brother, if you don't be careful, they'll bypass you in their search for holiness. Hallelujah. They'll go beyond what you've told them because you just have a new nature when your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. I'll praise the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but it's wonderful to know that my name is written in heaven. Heaven is in my nature. I talk God's talk. I talk God's talk. I guarantee you, wherever you see me and wherever I meet you, you're going to hear me talking God's talk. Have you found that to be true? Have you seen me anywhere where I want to talk other junk? Ain't nothing wrong, hunting. But if I went hunting, I'd be talking God's talk to those squirrels and those deer. I'd be talking God's talk. I when I pointed that rifle at a deer, I'd say, Lord, help me shoot straight. Hallelujah. It'd probably take a little skill on my part too, wouldn't it? But I want to tell you something, church. We are to talk God's talk. I look at Facebook sometimes. And I get amazed at Christians that I've seen on Facebook. And they never say anything about anything that has to do with God. And I watch, I say, when are they going to testify? When are they going to sing a song of praise to the Lord? When are they going to tell somebody you need to know Jesus? When are they going to tell somebody? I mean, I'm telling you, listen, we are to talk God's talk. Go back with me to Malachi. Will you? Go back with me to Malachi. Listen to it. Listen to it carefully. Listen to it carefully. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. He heard it. And he, in a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, when I make up my jewels. I'm not satisfied just to be a child of God. I'm not satisfied just to be a son of heaven. I want to be one of his jewels. How many of you would like to be a jewel? You really like to be a jewel. Come on, raise your hand. Would you really like to be a jewel? Well, start spending more of your time talking about him. You say, Brother Chambers, my friends, they don't like it when I talk about God. Well, you talk about God anyhow. You may lose some friends, but you may also gain some friends. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you become a friend to God, somebody is going to need you that rejected you earlier, and they're going to remember somebody that wouldn't do anything but talk about God. They're not going to get some old cusser or swearer or joke teller to pray for them. They're going to look for a saint of God to pray for them. How many believe this? Let me see your hand. Come on, do you really believe this? How many want to be a jewel in God's family, written in the book of remembrance? I think that's got to be one of the grandest things in the Bible, is for God, the Lord Jesus, to have a book called the Book of Remembrance, to have a list of those who are just sold out to him, brother. I mean, they are so sold out to him. They're so devoted to him. He sets a prince of their life. He rules their life so utterly and so completely. It is just, to me, so absolutely beautiful, absolutely breathtaking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you know something? If you belong to him and you live wholly for him, one day you're going to be gone from here and moving over there. And the Bible says he's going to take you to the Father's presence. And he's going to say, now, Father, here's one of those jewels that all he could talk about was me. And he lost a lot of friends and even family members because he was so overly religious in their mind. And he just got on their nerves and he worried them to death because they always were feeling conviction when they were around him. All they could feel was their need of Christ when they got around this jewel. And Father, I want to introduce to you this man. His name is Marlon Clark, and he's been a faithful one. He served me when his family wouldn't serve me. He served me when his wife wouldn't serve me. He served me when the people he worked with paid no attention. He just kept on and kept on and kept on. Now, Father, I confess him to you. How many of you want to be confessed to the Father? Would you slip a hand up? I want him to look at me and say, that's one of my jewels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's one of my jewels. I'm talking about the book of life. Now, don't think I'm talking about anything but the book of life. These are people who've been written in the book of life. Now, church, we're so near the coming of the Lord. I got to hurry now. Written in the book, got a new nature. Remember that. You got a new future. Remember that. You got a new love. Remember that. Everything about you has changed. Your name's written in a heavenly book. It's the book that Jesus wrote your name in. See, he couldn't write your name if he didn't take note of you. Have you thought about that? Writing your name in the book of life was not just some idle event, no-name moment. It was not just something that happened in a kind of rote fashion, like something showing up on a computer. Oh, no. This happened because the Son of God heard your prayer. He heard your cry. He heard your repentance. His blood has washed you of your sins. His blood has made you a new creature. And now the Lord Jesus Christ himself picks up the pen of heaven. Hallelujah, and goes to the book of life, and he finds, I guess he keeps them in alphabetical order. No, it probably is in English, probably Hebrew. But anyhow, he keeps a record, and he writes down your name. Can you imagine? Jesus. Somebody help me. Jesus, right there in heaven, with a pen in his hand, writing your name. Hallelujah. The Son of God, the blessed Redeemer. the blessed Lord. And I got to carry you on because I got to make sure you understand. And I'm having to miss a lot here. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. This is not a part that's before I go there, I ought to go to Proverbs. I ought to go to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs with me. I want you to make sure you don't forget this. I want you to share it with people that you know. I wish you'd make it a part of your understanding so that you could repeat it and quote it. The book of Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, and we'll go to verse 7. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 7. You got to hear this. Chapter 10, verse 7. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked. I'm sorry, that was chapter 11, chapter 10, verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Would you say rot? Say it, everybody. Rot. Doesn't that name, that word sound, it sounds incredible. It even smells. You think about rot, if you don't be careful, you'll get an imaginary smell because it's a terrible word. And here, the book of Proverbs 10 and 7 says, the wicked name shall rot. Oh, God. Can you imagine the multitude? They will remember their name in the lake of fire, but even their family will not remember their name. If you have somebody you love that doesn't go to heaven, but they go to hell, their name will rot, and you will never remember it in the city of God. When you get in your inheritance and you see the beauty of all that God has provided for you, all those wonderful people that you loved, those wonderful people that you cared for, those you wept and wept and wept over their soul and wanted them to be saved, and they refused and they said no, their names will rot and you will never remember them when you get to heaven. Does anybody agree with that? Let me see your hand. I don't want to remember people I love. When I get there, heaven would be so full of crying. Heaven would be so full of weeping. Heaven would be a turmoil for some period of time when it all begins. If you were going to weep over your loved ones, but the Bible says their names will rot. Their names will disappear from the great economy of God. All the books of heaven, their name will be smitten and stricken from those books. Every one of the books that God has and every record in heaven, whether it's the second book of all your members, all the way to the end, when your deeds are remembered before God, the names will be smitten and stricken and you will remember them no more. Now hear me, sinner. Hear me, sinner. Hear me, sinner, unborn again person. Don't dare go on with your life and allow your name to be rotten in eternity. What a fact. What a truth. Now, closing, let's go to the book of Hebrews. You have to remember that your name can be removed. We're not going to argue this morning, but about when it will be removed. But we will just tell you that it will be removed. You understand me? If you don't serve God. Now let's go to a passage that's the best one I know to understand this. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But so much the more. But exalted one another. And so much the more. As you see the day approaching. You hear that? Let me read that again. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, telling one another, pleading with one another, exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, let me say something here. That's a picture of men and women going to the house of God. That's a picture of God's children showing up every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, showing up at the house of God. That's a picture of you going to be together with the family. See, what God's trying to show us is that since he wrote our name in heaven, he made us a part of a family. And the family which is the closest to our heart is the church where God has put us. And God is saying to us, don't you forsake the assembling of yourself together with that place where God has made you a body. You don't let nothing keep you out of God's house. I'm here to tell you, you just don't let nothing except something that you have no control over. Because exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But notice how serious this is. The next verse. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. The sacrifice of the cross is of no value to the man or woman who willfully keeps on sinning, who willfully goes back to sinning. After they came to God, he says, there remaineth no. Did you hear that scripture? How many would read that scripture out loud with me? For if we sin willfully, after, say that word after we have received the truth, the words of truth, there remaineth. Am I right? Read it with me. There, what? What? Say it out loud. Remaineth no more sacrifice for their sins. If I would turn from my Lord and go into sin, refuse to continue in my life of surrender, at the point that my sins are settled and I'm gone from my Lord to that world, he said, there's no more sacrifice for me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the multitudes of people that you know? You don't know all about them, but you know enough about them that they have probably allowed themselves to willfully keep on and keep on. They've been told the truth. They've been told the truth. I can stand here and think of people whom I preached to, whom I loved, whom I cried over, whom I bowed before or stood before or stood with and almost begged them to turn to God. And finally, one day, like a snap of a finger, they're gone. I remember some time ago, I ran into the hospital. Trying my best to get there before it was over. And I got in the hospital. The first word I had was, they're gone. They're gone. The family's already left. And I just felt like dying. How many of you ever felt that way? When you go on in sin, the moment comes when the sacrifice no longer applies and the person is gone. The person, you say maybe they got saved. I pray they did. I have no way of knowing, and I'm not going to try to judge. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to let it happen to Joseph Chambers. Hallelujah. How many can say, by the grace of God, I shall do his will? Say it with me, if you would. One more verse I must read. But no more sacrifice their sins. But there's another verse. The next verse, 27. But a certain fearful for looking after those things which shall come upon the world. Let me read it carefully. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Saints of God, I want to tell you something this morning. Living this Christian life is not no picnic. Living this Christian life is no careless wonder in the realm of spiritual matters. Living this Christian life is not just being idly committed to go to church occasionally and to do a few things for God. Living this Christian life is surrendering yourself to the citizenship of heaven and saying, I no longer belong to myself. I belong to him who reigns in the sky. Would you stand and say, my name is written in heaven. My name is written in heaven. My name is written in heaven. Woo! Hallelujah. How about just giving him a wave offering, would you? My name is written in heaven. My name is written in heaven. I don't belong to Joe Chambers. I don't belong even just to Juanita Chambers. I don't just belong to you as your pastor. I belong to him who reigns in the heavens. Hallelujah. He wrote my name in the book. I want somebody to sing that song. Is the blood still there? Is the blood still there? The little boy asking his dad, is the blood still there in your life? How many can say this morning, there's no willful sin in my heart? Would you raise your hand? There's no willful sin in my heart. There's nothing that I know that is sinful that I haven't disconnected myself from and disconnected myself with. I belong to him. My name is written in heaven. My feet are planted firmly right here. But my name is firmly right up there. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody help me shout, would you? Somebody help me shout. My name is written in heaven. I am not my own. I don't belong to me. Raise your hand and just let the Holy Ghost move on your soul. Would you just yield yourself to him? A time like this is a wonderful time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful time to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. My name is written in heaven. My name is written in that Lamb's book of life, in the possession of the Lord himself, and the devil can't touch it, Derek. The devil can't touch that book. Goody, goody, devil. Heaven has some possessions. You can go up there. You can say ugly things to the Father about me. And you can try to accuse the Father of me. But devil, you can't touch the book where my record is written. And you can't touch the book where the remembrance is written. You can't touch the book where my name is recorded as a child of God. Devil, you can't touch those. In the hands of the heaven.
And the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I have spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take